Listening test. Part 1. You're going to listen to a recorded material. Before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice. You're ready to start.
You will hear a telephone conversation between the organizer of a short story competition and someone who wishes to take part in the competition.
Good morning, Dave speaking.
Oh, hi. I'm phoning about a short story competition. I saw an advert in a magazine, and I was just calling to get some details.
Yes, yeah, certainly. I'm the competition organiser, so I should be able to help. What kind of details are you looking for?
Well, does it cost anything to enter?
Yes, there's an entry fee of £5.
OK, that should be fine. It's a short story competition, so how many words is that?
Well, we want to give people a reasonable amount of freedom, but the guidelines are around 3,000 words.
Oh, that sounds quite a lot.
Well, it's not as much as it used to be. We did have a limit of 5,000 words, but some people thought that was too many. So this year we've reduced it.
Right. And does the story need to be about anything in particular?
No, you can write about any topic you like. But the main point of the competition is that it has to have a surprise ending.
Oh, I see. That sounds interesting. I don't think I've ever written a story like that before.
Yes, it's something we've introduced for this year's competition.
Right. I'm 18. Is there any age limit?
Yes, you need to be 16 or over. So, if you're 18, that's fine.
Great. So you have the competition once a year, is that right?
Yes. We start advertising in January, and the competition takes up a lot of the year. We give people a few months to write their story, and then it takes quite a long time to judge all the entries and to announce the winners.
I see. So when is the closing date for the competition? It's already April. I hope I'm not too late.
No, you've still got plenty of time. You need to submit your entry by the 1st of August. After then, it will be too late. Although you can always enter next year's competition.
OK, good. So, how do I enter?
Well, we have a website, and the best way to enter is to complete the entry form online. We also have more details of the competition on the site. Shall I give you the web address?
Yes, please.
OK, it's www.comp4ss.com. And that's the number 4, not the word 4.
Okay, thanks. I've got that. So, I can complete the entry form online, but how do I send the story? Do I print it out and send it to you?
Well, you may want to print the story out so you can review it. But don't post it to us. When you've finished your story, you will need to email it to us. The email address is on the website I gave you.
OK, that's fine.
Now listen again.
Good morning, Dave speaking.
Oh, hi. I'm phoning about a short story competition. I saw an advert in a magazine, and I was just calling to get some details.
Yes, yeah, certainly. I'm the competition organiser, so I should be able to help. What kind of details are you looking for?
Well, does it cost anything to enter?
Yes, there's an entry fee of £5.
OK, that should be fine. It's a short story competition, so how many words is that?
Well, we want to give people a reasonable amount of freedom, but the guidelines are around 3,000 words.
Oh, that sounds quite a lot.
Well, it's not as much as it used to be. We did have a limit of 5,000 words, but some people thought that was too many. So this year we've reduced it.
Right. And does the story need to be about anything in particular?
No, you can write about any topic you like. But the main point of the competition is that it has to have a surprise ending.
Oh, I see. That sounds interesting. I don't think I've ever written a story like that before.
Yes, it's something we've introduced for this year's competition.
Right. I'm 18. Is there any age limit?
Yes, you need to be 16 or over. So, if you're 18, that's fine.
Great. So you have the competition once a year, is that right?
Yes. We start advertising in January, and the competition takes up a lot of the year. We give people a few months to write their story, and then it takes quite a long time to judge all the entries and to announce the winners.
I see. So when is the closing date for the competition? It's already April. I hope I'm not too late.
No, you've still got plenty of time. You need to submit your entry by the 1st of August. After then, it will be too late. Although you can always enter next year's competition.
OK, good. So how do I enter?
Well, we have a website, and the best way to enter is to complete the entry form online. We also have more details of the competition on the site. Shall I give you the web address?
Yes, please.
OK, it's www.comp4ss.com. And that's the number 4, not the word 4.
OK, thanks. I've got that. So, I can complete the entry form online, but how do I send the story? Do I print it out and send it to you?
Well, you may want to print the story out so you can review it, but don't post it to us. When you've finished your story, you will need to email it to us. The email address is on the website I gave you.
OK, that's fine.
Part 2. You're going to listen to another recorded material. Again, before you listen, you have 20 seconds to read the instructions carefully, and you will listen to it twice. You're ready to start.
You will hear an interview in which two people, called Claire McBride and Sean Cale, are talking about training to run in a charity marathon.
Today, I'm interviewing Claire McBride and Sean Cale, who both recently ran a marathon for the first time. Claire, what made you train for the marathon?
I decided to have a stab at it as a way of raising money for charity. I wasn't the sporty type who typically runs distances of 42 kilometres. The very idea made me shudder. When I've heard people making resolutions to turn over a new leaf at New Year, I've always been sceptical, so I assumed my resolve would wear off once I began training. I can't quite work out how I became that annoying person who'd arrive at work glowing with satisfaction at having run 10 kilometres to work. I relished those runs. And when I got into conversations with colleagues about nightmare commutes, I'd shrug my shoulders and say, I'm so glad I run to work.
Sean, how was your marathon preparation? Did things go right for you?
Well, I'd always been an enthusiastic athlete and believed anyone with grit and enough preparation could do the marathon. But it was obvious I needed to have a clearly thought out training strategy. I already had a fair base fitness level, so I set out to bank some big distances early on. But I became conscious I'd underestimated the mental struggle. I'd failed to grasp how critical it was to find ways to spur myself on, to reach the number of kilometres that go into building up the necessary endurance without giving up. If I'd factored in ways to get over my resistance in the early stages, I'd have tackled the challenge more effectively.
Isn't injury a risk during marathon training?
Absolutely. One day, I suddenly developed excruciating pains in my right thigh, so bad that abandoning the whole thing may have crossed my mind briefly. However, I headed off to a physio trainer who told me to take it easy for a week and refrain from running, and to do just light swimming. I was reluctant to disrupt the routine I'd got into, so I just carried on anyway, then fell ill with bronchitis. The hardest thing about marathon training is knowing how not to overdo it. Anyway, I was forced to rip up my schedule and set myself one based on being more in tune with my physical self.
How did it feel getting up to train on winter mornings?
Friends told me it'll be so lonely and miserable. I know there are visualization techniques to conquer negative feelings. You picture yourself racing along ahead of the pack, any image that'll induce you to get up and out. But then you confront the reality of heading out through the park in the darkness of a January dawn. There's hardly another runner to be seen. It's amazing what you find to focus on. The cooing of pigeons, the rustling of leaves, the crunch of trainers on gravel. Focusing on insignificant things enabled me to endure the monotony and the icy winds.
Was your running speed in the marathon a concern, Sean?
During my training, I tried some half marathons. Using my time for them, I tried to calculate my speed across the full distance using software. Of course, it's double the distance, stamina, everything, but the claim is that your performance on the marathon can be predicted based on other times and distances you've run, assuming you make it to the end. Obviously, the fitter you are, the more you can hold onto your pace for longer. Using apps got me into the whole process of establishing targets. Within any gadget-based prediction, there's leeway, of course. It couldn't take into account anything that happened on race day or how I'd trained.
So, how was the experience on the day?
Running a marathon's a huge undertaking. Uplifting isn't the word. The weather was dreadful, but a massive crowd turned out and the applause ringing out on all sides was overwhelming. But there was also the hassle of locating my loyal friends and family. Despite agreeing a spot at the end of the route, exasperatingly, when I passed the finish line, they were nowhere to be seen among the endless spectators.
For me, it took time to sink in that I'd made it. During the race, I wondered if my body might let me down. My legs were like lead, and before the finish, I tumbled, which wasn't how I'd envisioned things. Somehow, I dragged myself up and staggered over the line, only to collapse in a heap, oblivious to the cheering and clapping. I gather people came to my rescue. I don't think anyone who hasn't tried it can fully appreciate what it feels like to achieve a goal like that.
Well, congratulations.
Now listen again.
Today, I'm interviewing Claire McBride and Sean Cale, who both recently ran a marathon for the first time. Claire, what made you train for the marathon?
I decided to have a stab at it as a way of raising money for charity. I wasn't the sporty type who typically runs distances of 42 kilometres. The very idea made me shudder. When I've heard people making resolutions to turn over a new leaf at New Year, I've always been sceptical. So I assumed my resolve would wear off once I began training. I can't quite work out how I became that annoying person who'd arrive at work glowing with satisfaction at having run 10 kilometres to work. I relished those runs, and when I got into conversations with colleagues about nightmare commutes, I'd shrug my shoulders and say, "I'm so glad I run to work."
Sean, how was your marathon preparation? Did things go right for you?
Well, I'd always been an enthusiastic athlete and believed anyone with grit and enough preparation could do the marathon, but it was obvious I needed to have a clearly thought-out training strategy. I already had a fair base fitness level, so I set out to bank some big distances early on. But I became conscious I'd underestimated the mental struggle. I'd failed to grasp how critical it was to find ways to spur myself on, to reach the number of kilometres that go into building up the necessary endurance without giving up. If I'd factored in ways to get over my resistance in the early stages, I'd have tackled the challenge more effectively.
Isn't injury a risk during marathon training?
Absolutely. One day, I suddenly developed excruciating pains in my right thigh, so bad that abandoning the whole thing may have crossed my mind briefly. However, I headed off to a physio trainer who told me to take it easy for a week and refrain from running, and to do just light swimming. I was reluctant to disrupt the routine I'd got into, so I just carried on anyway, then fell ill with bronchitis. The hardest thing about marathon training is knowing how not to overdo it. Anyway, I was forced to rip up my schedule and set myself one based on being more in tune with my physical self.
How did it feel getting up to train on winter mornings?
Friends told me it'll be so lonely and miserable. I know there are visualization techniques to conquer negative feelings. You picture yourself racing along ahead of the pack, any image that'll induce you to get up and out. But then you confront the reality of heading out through the park in the darkness of a January dawn. There's hardly another runner to be seen. It's amazing what you find to focus on. The cooing of pigeons, the rustling of leaves, the crunch of trainers on gravel. Focusing on insignificant things enabled me to endure the monotony and the icy winds.
Was your running speed in the marathon a concern, Sean?
During my training, I tried some half marathons. Using my time for them, I tried to calculate my speed across the full distance using software. Of course, it's double the distance, stamina, everything, but the claim is that your performance on the marathon can be predicted based on other times and distances you've run, assuming you make it to the end. Obviously, the fitter you are, the more you can hold onto your pace for longer. Using apps got me into the whole process of establishing targets. Within any gadget-based prediction, there's leeway, of course. It couldn't take into account anything that happened on race day or how I'd trained.
So, how was the experience on the day?
Running a marathon's a huge undertaking. Uplifting isn't the word. The weather was dreadful, but a massive crowd turned out and the applause ringing out on all sides was overwhelming. But there was also the hassle of locating my loyal friends and family. Despite agreeing a spot at the end of the route, exasperatingly, when I passed the finish line, they were nowhere to be seen among the endless spectators.
For me, it took time to sink in that I'd made it. During the race, I wondered if my body might let me down. My legs were like lead, and before the finish, I tumbled, which wasn't how I'd envisioned things. Somehow, I dragged myself up and staggered over the line, only to collapse in a heap, oblivious to the cheering and clapping. I gather people came to my rescue. I don't think anyone who hasn't tried it can fully appreciate what it feels like to achieve a goal like that.
Well, congratulations.
That's the end of the listening section.